Heavenly Father, we come to you and thank you that we have the privilege of being able to call you our Father. Lord, I pray that we would just be awestruck that you are the God who made the universe and everything around us. You do big things, yet you also know everything about us. You care about every detail of our lives. Lord, that is wonderful. Thank you for that. Draw us close to you now. Prepare us to hear from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so there's this thing out there, and it's called fake news. And fake news is just one of those things that makes sense. It's like last I heard when I was growing up, the news was, these are the facts. Nothing but the facts. Just give us the facts, just lay them out, boom, 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 and we'll be fine. You know that 2016, the word of the year, Oxford Dictionary's word of the year for 2016 was post-truth. Huh? Post-truth and fake news go together just like this. You see, post-truth says, you know, the way we really form our opinion of the world and everything around us is just how we feel. It's based on our emotions. That's it. There's nothing objective. That is the way our culture is going. And fake news is post-truth. Fake news is twisting and spinning the facts to make it conform to the way I feel it ought to be. Fake news is a fact-free perspective on life and current events. And you know, it's an oxymoron. That's one of my favorite words right there. It's an oxymoron. It makes no sense. Fake and news shouldn't be in the same sentence together. But we kind of just accept it and say, this is it. It's a nonsensical word. Fake news. But it's a thing. Now, sometimes fake news works slowly, and it sows seeds of doubt about things. It just kind of chips away and erodes the truth. Other times, fake news might show up and slap us upside the face as an outright lie. It's fake news. You know, the first fake news reporter was a serpent in the garden. And the way he operated was to sow seeds of doubt slowly. You know, did God really say, look, God really isn't that concerned about how you're doing. He really doesn't care all that. He's too preoccupied with this whole universe. You really can't trust God. I mean, he might be good, but he's not that great. Or he's really great, but, you know, he's not that good. Lies that just creep in, and they erode our confidence in God. The devil was the first fake news reporter. Fake news has been around for all of our existence. We've just finally gotten around to naming it. You know, contributing to the fake news cycle are our feelings as well. Feelings come and go. They're up and down. But they're an unreliable guide to life. So with all this fake news out there, we need to discern what's real. We need to be able to figure out what is truth and what is fake. And the Bible gives us what we need to know. We're going to be looking in the book of 2 Peter over the next few weeks. 2 Peter, I'd encourage you to turn there, open your Bibles, pull it up on your phone, your iPad, whatever it is you have with you. This is a short book, and the more I've just been reading it over and over the last several weeks, think, man, we could go for a whole year in this book. It is deep. But it is also a letter that was written to the church, and it's something that people would have heard in one sitting. So we're going to spread it out over three sittings. We'll follow roughly the chapters, but it gives us what we need to know so that we can discern fake news from the truth. According to 1 Peter, you need to know what you have, you need to know what you're up against, and you need to know what you're living for. And we'll unpack all these over the next 3 weeks. The Apostle Paul wrote the letter to 2 Peter. And it's a letter about false teachers that were beginning to infiltrate into church world. They were bringing false doctrine. And false doctrine is really just a spiritual word for fake news. These false teachers were bringing fake news into the church. When 2 Peter was written, it was probably about 30 years after Jesus had died on the cross and then risen from the dead and ascended to heaven. There was really no set leader of the church. God grew it through his Holy Spirit. And so pretty much people would say, you know, I feel like being a teacher. No, I want to do it. I want control. And so these false teachers, guys that didn't know what they were talking about, they were either misinformed or they wanted to mess things up, started getting into the church and spreading fake news. So what is the church supposed to do? How do we stand up for this fake news? In this letter, only three chapters long, and I'd encourage you to read it each week over the next 3 weeks. You can do it inside of 15 minutes. But in this short letter, three chapters, the words know, knowledge, remind, remember, these sort of words show up over a dozen times. It's important that we know facts are real because fake news will shipwreck us. I want you just to listen, and I'm going to read the first 11 verses of 2 Peter. Simeon, this was kind of like a nickname of Peter's. It's the human touch. He is an old man at this point. He was one of the closest disciples of Jesus Christ. Walked with him for 3 years. He became kind of an unofficial leader of the church. It's been about 30, maybe 35 years since Jesus has ascended to heaven. And things are getting hard for people that follow Christ. There's persecution. Life is not easy for them. And then fake news is getting into church world. Peter knows that he's about to die. Shortly after this book was written, he was crucified upside down in Rome for Christ. He's saying words that matter. This is important right here, what he's going to say. He's saying to the church, guys, listen up. This is how you want to base your life. Simeon, Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all the things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's God's word to us. So with all this fake news swirling around, we need real good news. And that's what God offers us. You know, those 11 verses that I read, in the original language, that is just one run-on sentence. Simeon, Peter, is excited about what he's writing. This is important. And he just goes out to the races right there. 11 verses are really one sentence. And it's to help us to cut through all the fake news around us. And it gives us good news and real news. That's what we have. The good news is that we have everything for life and godliness. God has given us everything that we need to do the things that he's called us to. And then he has given us truth. Truth that we can build our lives on. Truth that we can count on. This is what God offers us. So first, today, we're going to look at know what you have. And what we have is everything, and we have the truth. So let's see how that works out in this chapter. Verses 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Good news. His divine power has given us everything. All things that pertain to life and to godliness. Doesn't say, hey, God has given you, you know, about 75%. He's given you 3/4 of what you need to do, but you've got to come up with that other quarter by yourself. Doesn't say that. It's total good news. God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And it's not through us whomping it up. It's not through us doing it. It comes through knowing him, Christ. We all know the saying in the work world that, hey, it really matters who you know. Well, that's true here. It matters who you know. As a Christian, you know Jesus Christ. And he has given us everything that we need to live a life of godliness in a world that is running away from him. The tense that this verb is written in, God has given us everything. It's in the perfect tense. It has been done in the past, and it is done forever. It is completed. That is really good news. It's completely done. God has given us everything. It's not like God says, I'm going to give you some of it, and then when you attain a little bit more, I'll give you more. No, God has given it. When we come to Christ, that is part of the package deal. You call on God, and he says, I'll give you everything you need in life and godliness. Heaven is your ultimate home, and while you walk on this earth, you'll have everything that you need. It's done. There are no caveats in this. There's no small print behind this. His divine power has given us all things, well, only if you're really spiritual. It doesn't say only if you don't mess up. Only if you have perfect attendance at church. Only if you've never let anyone down. There's no caveats. There's no small print. It's good news. It's really good news. This doesn't just apply to the super spiritual. This applies to anyone who has come to Christ. We have everything. I love what it says in verse 1, where Peter is greeting. He says this, by God's glory and goodness, he has granted to us, What God has done for us here is he has given us an equal faith. This is Peter, one of the greatest of the apostles, a guy who walked with Jesus, who could have said, listen, you all, you know, you're pretty cool, but you're not quite as good as me. I walked with Jesus. But look at what he says. You have a faith that's equal to mine. And that ripples through time to us. Peter's up there in heaven, and he's looking at Cedar Run, and he's saying, you guys have the same faith I do. It's equal to mine. That's really cool. It's good news because it's all about what God has done, not what we can try to attain. By God's glory and goodness, he has granted to us his great and precious promises. See, Satan loves to give us fake news on this. He loves to attack God's goodness and God's greatness. Some translations will say God's goodness and God's excellence or his glory. Fake news says God can only be one of those. He can be good, but he can't be glorious. Or he can be glorious, but he can't be good. But God is both. And God has given us promises. And he does say to us, look, you've got to read my word to find the promises, but you can count on these things. When God promises something, it's as good as done. And so he's promised us that we can be partakers of the divine nature. Now that sounds kind of spooky, mysterious, you know, partakers of the divine nature. What is that all about? Well, there was this fake teaching, this fake news that was entering church world about this so-called super spirituality. And Peter, who walked with Jesus, said, look, forget that nonsense. The reality is that when you come to Christ, he has done all the heavy lifting for you. When you come to Christ, God takes up residence in you through his Holy Spirit. That is sharing in the divine nature. Every Christian, every believer on the Lord Jesus Christ can be confident that you have God in you. You will never be alone in life. That is good news. You have God in you. And this is the same God who made the universe, who can do anything. He lives in us. That's amazing. We should be more awestruck with that every day of our Christian life. We can share God's nature. The amazing thing, though, is this only comes from belief. This flips everything that religion tells us. Religion says you need to do certain things, then you might be like God. God says, no, you come to me, and then I'll take up residence in you, and then I want you to live it out. God wants us to be like him because he's in us. He doesn't want us to be like him so that we can earn something. God comes into our lives. God has done this so you can be like him. That's good news. Then it says that you can escape the world's corruption through evil desires. Does this mean that we as Christians say, okay, we're just going to kind of live off by ourselves and stay in our holy huddles? No. But what it does mean is that we can stand strong when the world all around us is doing its own thing, when the world all around us is rejecting the ways of God. We've got a reason and a purpose for living. We have truth and a foundation to build our life on that is much better than anyone else around us might have. So what is this escape that it's talking about? There's two things in mind here. First of all, there's an ultimate escape, and that is one day, based on God's promises, everyone who has come to Jesus says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe in you. Heaven is our ultimate home. We will spend the rest of forever with our God in a place where there is no suffering, there is no sin, there is no shame, there is no sickness. That's really good news, and that's the ultimate escape. But God says, look, it's not time yet for me to take you away from the earth. You're there. And so he gives us, we no longer as Christians have to be under the power of sin. We have an escape from it. We don't have to live by our fleshly desires. We don't have to have our lives driven by the way we're feeling. We can escape all this fake news by hanging on to the truth of what God has done for us. Very important we understand the order that this passage unfolds. It starts with what God has done for us. See, religion is all about you do this, then you'll be right with God. God says, no, I want to be right with you, and so I've done everything that needed to be done. You just need to come to me by faith. Now, in light of all that God has done for us, let's pick it up in verse 5. For this very reason, because of all that has happened in verses 3 and 4, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. It gives us a list of things to do, but it's very important that we understand how things work together. Make every effort. There is work involved in this. God's grace, as has been said by others, is not opposed to effort, but it's opposed to earning. We don't earn this godliness. We don't earn partaking in God's nature. But because God has shared his nature with us, he says, you know, the best way to live is to do these things. And they're a choice with the power that I give you. Because remember, he said he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. These are choices we make. You have it, now act on it. Virtue. What it's talking about here is a moral energy, a sense of goodness, maturity. And it's really like God saying, act who you are. You know, I don't know how many times I've said to my children, and I don't know how many times I heard it growing up, hey, act your age. In the same way, God is saying to us, act like who you are. I've given you everything. You share in my nature. I'm inside you. Now just act like it. Virtue. Knowledge. Knowledge is important to cut through the fake news around us. Learn. Grow. God wants us to learn about him. He wants us to study scripture, not so that we can have a bragging contest by how many verses we memorize or how much theology we know, but the reality is when we set our hearts and our minds to reading and studying God's word, and we do it with a humble heart, we will become more like him in the way we behave, because that is what's going through our mind rather than all the fake news of the world and the culture around us. Self-control. We can do this because we have an escape. We are not under the power of sin. Steadfastness. This is countercultural. We live in a microwave world. But we can stick with things that really matter. Patience. Work through situations. We could have the long view in life rather than having instant gratification drive us. Godliness. That's being like God, like the one who lives in us. And the more we commune with him through reading his word, through prayer, from talking with others that are growing in him, the more you will naturally become like God. It's not a set of rules and regulations which you check the boxes and say, I've arrived. But it's one of those things that slowly happens over life. The more you spend time in his word, the more you pray, the more you get his perspective on things, the more you start thinking like him and acting like him. And that's the way godliness develops naturally. Brotherly affection. Real community. We look out for each other. You know, the reality is, in a room of this size, we're not going to know everyone on a first-name basis. You're not even going to know everything going on in everyone's lives. We encourage you to get together in smaller groups. We have life groups where you really share life with one another and express that brotherly affection. And at times, we can do it as a larger congregation, but it's just hard to really know what's going on in everyone's lives. But this is a character trait that God wants his people to have. Real community, brotherly affection, look out for each other. And then love. Love is the ultimate of these things. Love says others first, others ahead of me. And that is 180 degrees opposite of the fake news around us. That is countercultural in a me-first world. See, these character traits will only enhance your life. God never intended these things to be a burdensome list of, all right, now you're in the church world, you need to do this, 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 this. But the more we go, wait a minute, God has already given me everything I need. He lives in me. Why would I not want to develop virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, brotherly affection, and love? This is important. Verses 10 to 11, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our God, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's really saying here, act like who you are. And when you start living out this way, when God calls you home, it's going to be a wonderful reunion because you'll have lived a life with no regrets here. You know, I don't want to get to heaven and go, oh, you know, if only I'd have trusted God more. I want to live full out for him right now. And so when you get up there, it's a great celebration with Peter and others like him. That's the way we want to be living. That's where you get joy in this journey. In verses 12 to 15, Paul just says, guys, I know I'm going to die. My time is coming up soon. This is what really matters. I'm not just giving you nice little teaching. This is what matters. And it's all great news. I would summarize the first half of this chapter by saying, God has done everything. We just need to believe and make some choices. That is really good news. But in some ways, it sounds too good to be true. And God says, it is true. Listen to what he says, verses 16 to 18. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter's talking about a specific instance there in Bible terminology. It's the transfiguration. It's when Peter and some of the closest disciples were on a mountainside with Jesus, and Jesus was revealed to them for who he truly was, God in all his glory. And Peter is saying, look, this is true. I am not throwing my life away for a fake story here. I'm about to die, and I know it. And I am telling you that what we're following is true. Eyewitness. It's absolute truth. This is not just some philosophy or pop culture fad coming through. It's not a cleverly devised myth. This is reality. Verse 19, he basically says, okay, y'all, listen up. We have something more sure. The prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. We'll tie this theme together a little bit more in the third week in this series. We've got something real. Christianity is not a collection of pop religious fads. It's truth revealed from God. His word that we have here is his word. It's not a collection of human stories. And then listen to what he says in verse 20. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Peter's driving the point home here. These aren't just stories that we made up. God's Spirit revealed them. It's put in an interesting way in this. It says that men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You know, God, I don't believe, dictated the Bible directly to people because he used their personalities. The different books in the Bible are written by people from all different walks of life. You've got a king, you got a fig picker, you got fishermen, you've got a lawyer. I mean, they'll let anybody write this in God's word here. You've got all kinds of different professions, and you see it in the style of writing that's in there. So God allowed the individual personalities and temperaments to show up in there, but he guided them to the final end that he wanted. The same word that's used for carried along by the Holy Spirit is also used in the book of Acts, where the ship that Paul was on was carried by the wind of the storm. It was going to get to its final destination. But when it got to that final destination, it may have done a little bit of this. God knew what he wanted us to know, and we have his word. We can be confident of that. But he also used individual human authors. But it is God's word that emerged from the process. We can be confident of that. It's not fake news. It's real news. It's truth. What Jesus offers us is real good news. It's truth against false teaching. It's truth against fake news. There's nothing post-truthy about it. It's just truth. And the amazing thing is, it's good. Truth and good news together is an amazing thing. Now here's the deal though. In life, we are all on information overload. You know, we thought that with all this technology, with the internet and everything else, it's going to make life easy. I remember I was in the first computer science class at South Lakes High School. I mean, this was, we still had to write dinosaurs to it when we went to school then. But in this computer science class, there was all kinds of talk like, you know, man, computers, we're going to get them to do more and more of our work so that before you know it, you're not going to, you'll show up to work, you know, a couple hours a day and let the computers do their thing. Has anyone experienced that? Okay, no. What's happened is they've consumed our lives and we go, oh, I can get so much more with everything, and we're on information overload. Tons of messages zipping around us. Many voices vying for your ear. Do you remember the old wildlife shows where they would show like a, and it'd be a beach and it'd be filled with these seals and there would be thousands of them around, and I'm not going to make you ask you to do the barking noise or anything like that, but you know, you just, the noise, the racket of all these things going, that's just like this information overload that we're working on. Or if you need a younger illustration thing of Finding Nemo, you know, you've got those seagulls going, mine. All that is just flitting around us. But the amazing thing, going back to the seals here, is that they say that a mother seal and the pup recognize each other's voices. Now, as a human being, I listen to this racket, and I think, this is just craziness. But the mother and the pup always seem to find each other. We need to be able to recognize our Heavenly Father. We need to be able to recognize His truth. See, Satan is still employed as a fake news reporter. And he is still going out there, and he's using the same playbook that he did in the first couple chapters of Genesis, and he's going after us. He's sowing seeds of doubt about God and about us. Because if he can flip us away from the truth, he will shipwreck our lives, and he knows it. We will either make a real mess of things, or we'll at the very least just be neutralized for God. But when you live life with a long view, which we're going to talk about more when we get to chapter 3, and say, why would I settle for all this stuff right down here? I want to be living my life here in light of the life that is yet to come. But Satan still pushes his lies on us. Our feelings act up on us and try to get us to think or to believe certain things that are, well, post-truthy. Our own fears and doubts will crush us. Or we get proud and arrogant and stand in opposition to God. This is when we can't listen to our inner voice. Our inner voice loves to whisper in our ear, see, I told you you're a failure. You really messed up this. You've just wrecked your life. I mean, you're just done. Those messages will come across our mind. But that isn't the message of our God. When you read what's in 2 Peter, that message makes no sense. Our fears, our failures, our doubts, our insecurities will overwhelm us. But you can't listen to your inner voice. As I've said before, we can't listen to ourselves. We need to speak to ourselves. And when I say speak to ourselves, I don't mean get off in a corner and do anything crazy. But speak to ourselves means we need to have the truth of God's word. And when those feelings come across, that fake news, we go, wait a minute, this is the truth. I have everything I need in Christ. End of story. We counter fake news with truth. And truth is right here because God has given it to us. So don't listen to fake news. Don't let fake news dictate the way you live. Because God's message, it's better than good news. It's great news. And it's the truth. I want you to prepare your hearts for prayer now, and maybe just you go before the Lord. What fake news have you been listening to? Maybe there's some fears and some doubts. Maybe that voice has hit you that, you know, man, I've really blown it. And then you just get in this cycle of thinking, saying, God will never do anything with me. It's a lie. Don't believe it. It's a lie. It's fake news. Maybe you think that you can do it all and that you don't need God. Well, friend, that's fake news too. It's a lie. Fake news is lies. God leads us to him. And his good news is better than we could dream up by ourselves. And that what makes it even better than that is that it's true. It's solid. We can stand on it. So I pray that today God would help you see through the clutter of fake news. And that if there's anything that's been holding you back, you would combat it with the truth of God's word. Because remember that in Christ, you have everything you need. Can't lose it. You can't earn it. In Christ, you have everything you need. That's really good news. And God just calls us to act on it. In light of what I have, this is how I know I need to live. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Jesus, you have given us everything. Lord, I pray that we would be a people who cling to this truth and who revel in it. The amazing, true news of Christianity is that none of us are deserving. Yet you are so good and you are so great that you love us. You offer us life when we turn to you. Lord, help us to be a people who, as we have our eyes on you, we cannot help but to become people who add to our faith virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection and love. Lord, may that characterize our community right here at Cedar Run, not because we're great, but because you are, and you've given us everything we need to live that way. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So next week, we'll look at fake news and the reporters that are doing the job out there.